Revelation chapter number 2. Certainly desire your prayers that the Lord would help us. Thank Him for what I felt in my heart already this morning, what He spoke to my soul. Trust that He will help us today. Without Him, we can't do anything. We can go through form and a fashion, a routine, but that won't profit anybody. Too many times we come and leave the same way we come, and I don't want to do that this morning. I want to leave different than I come because of what He's done in our midst. That's the only way we will leave different, is if He does something in our midst, and I pray that He continue to work. Appreciate what He's done already. Revelation chapter 2, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on something's missing. I understand that these seven churches that John was commissioned to write the words of the Lord to, and if you have a red letter Bible, you'll find that all the verses I read this morning are written in red. They're the Lord's words Himself. Now understand, these seven churches were seven literal churches, and they also represent seven dispensations of time. And I understand that in practical application that we're in the last age, the Laodicean church age. That age of lukewarmness, where the Lord said, I would that thou art hot or cold, but because thou art lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And in the Laodicean age, they said, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And in reality, you could preach in the Laodicean age that something is missing from that scripture, and it's the Lord. And it's the same thing that's missing in the Ephesian church age, even though we may not in time period be living in that age. This is what the Lord has put on my heart, and I think it has application to our day. He commended them for their labor. Somebody said, one writer said, that this was the active church. And we're in a day where the church, as we know it, the group of people, the assembly, the buildings are more active now than they've probably ever been. I understand that in the midst of all the circumstances and the situations that are going on, many are hampered and hindered and all of that, that we have more things and stuff going on in our day in the church than we ever have before. It is an active church. But nevertheless, something was missing. He said, I know your works and I know your labor. And your patience. All of these things seem from verse 1 to verse number 3 seems like the Lord is just going to commend and commend and not find anything wrong. Then all of a sudden, verse number 4 rolls around and he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I looked up that word "left," and it means to overlook, means to disregard. It literally means to forget about. And he said, "Your first love." That word "first" means on the top position, first in rank, the most important thing, the thing that really matters. The Lord says, "You labored, you worked." He even talked about trying those that said that they were apostles, found them to be liars. All of this work is wonderful. You're active, you're laboring, but you have left your first love. You have gotten so busy in all the things that you're doing, you have forgot me, is what the Lord was saying. And he said, if you don't fix this, he said, if you don't repent, I will remove your candlestick out of his place. Now, there's been a lot of debate and a lot of fuss about what the candlestick represents, and there are many applications. And I'm just going to preach how the Lord put it on my heart to preach this morning. But if you look, the Bible said the Lord speaks here, and He doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't speak out of turn. He doesn't use a word that doesn't need to be there. He doesn't say, "I'll remove the candlestick out of its place," but He puts a masculine pronoun, a personal pronoun against that, and says, "I'll remove the candlestick out of his place." I believe what he's speaking about is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And without Him, the church loses its power and its effectiveness. We cannot do anything without Him. We have been led to believe that forms, fashions, programs, and plans will bring about an expected end, and we can maybe influence men and women for temporal things and in their minds, but to reach the hearts and the souls of individuals in light of eternity, we must have the power of God. And we're living in a day when something's missing in the church. Something is missing in the hearts of the people of God. Something, what the Lord was saying here, and I'm trying to get where I need to go, but He said that this is a church that labors but doesn't have any love. This is a church that is busy, but the church is not broken like it ought to be. And the Lord smote my heart last night sitting in the floor in my bedroom reading and studying and praying over this and asking God to help us this morning, that we're living in a day where the church is busier than it's ever been, but we've lost our brokenness for the souls of men and women. It's because we've left our first love. That those things that ought to be top priority, the one thing, the one individual, the one person that ought to be top priority in the lives of the people of God. It's not that we've left it off in the church as a collective, but it's because we've been left off in individuals' lives that the church has left her first love. It's because that when we go home after church on Sunday, we go to bed and we get up on Monday morning and He's not first in our life. And on Tuesday we forget about Him. We overlook Him. We discredit Him. And we just go on about a day we're so busy. I'm telling you, the busyness of this world is costing the church more than we realize in this day. We've left our first love. And the Lord commended them for their labor and their patience and all the things they had borne, the things they had went through, the things they had endured. But He said, nevertheless, all of this is not going to matter if you don't get it right where you've left the thing that matters the most. We're missing some things in the house of God today. It was dealt with somewhat in the Sunday school hour this morning. I'm not trying to rehearse everything that was said. The Lord knew what He was doing, but I'm telling you that we are missing His presence in the house of God in these days. We just come through and go through the motions and go through it. I'm talking about the church as a whole and other. I can't preach at other churches, but I'm saying the reality for the majority of gathering places today, and as it was said in the Sunday school hour, this building's not the church, it's just a meeting house. We are the church, but we're local assemblies, and in many local assemblies this morning, they'll gather together without the presence of God. I thought, and the Lord took my heart to two scriptures last night, and I want to give them to you, and I'll be done. But I thought about in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus went with his mother and Joseph to Jerusalem to worship, and the Bible said that they left Him. They just supposed that He was among the company, and they started back, and He wasn't in the crowd. And I'm telling you, that's where the church has lost it in this day. We just suppose, we just take for granted, we just think that because we come together, and because of this, because of that, or because they carry the right Bible, or because they dress right, or because they have a building, or that we're going to come and His presence is going to be here, or that that's not always the case. They just supposed that He was in the company. And I got to reading that scripture. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 43 through 46, I believe, is where it's at. And I just got to reading it over and over and over again last night. And the Lord got to letting some words stand up off the pages. And the Bible said they knew not the word. That word, I got to looking them up. That's the way the Lord began to work in my heart. And it means literally they forgot. They just overlooked. They took for granted the fact that He was there. I wonder how many times we come to the house of God and we just take for granted the fact that God will meet with us today. And it took them a whole day. The Bible said they went a whole day's journey before they realized He was missing. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching from my heart tonight because we're all guilty. I'm telling you, they went a whole day's journey and God began to speak to me and He said, I wonder how long it's going to take you, how long will it take the church to realize He's missing? Would you believe this morning there are many churches and I'm not their judge and I'm not preaching at them. I'm just preaching reality this morning. You know there are many churches that will gather together and they have no idea the Lord's not there. They're going to go through the motions and to the naked eye or to the eye of the flesh it may look like He's there. Because in our day, in the church age of 2020, we've learned that we can sing like He's here and shout like He's here and we can run the house like He's here. There are preachers that have even learned to preach like He's here. But there's one old preacher I was under growing up and he said the reality is this, if He ain't here, He just ain't here.
That's right.
We can't do it without Him. And they knew not that He was not in the crowd. And after a day, they realized then that something was missing. And I'm going to tell you, there are many people in the church that something in them is telling them that something's missing. But many people are looking for that missing thing in the wrong places. The Bible said I'm just preaching how the Lord put it on my heart, that they searched for Him among the kinfolks and acquaintances. They began to look in their family to try to fix what was missing. Then they began to look in their friends and try to fix what was missing. We got a lot of people in the church today that deep down on the inside, they know something's missing, but they're going to all the wrong places to try to fill the void in their life. And I'm going to tell you where they found Him. Right where they left Him. And that's real profound. And I understand. It may sound simple, but it's real profound. that if you want Him, you'll find Him right where you left Him. Right where they forgot Him. The Bible said they went up to the temple to worship. And when they got back, He was in the temple. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and this is what He said. He said they came like they always came. They went through the motions like they always did. Go home and read it in Luke chapter 2. It talked about them going as tradition was, as custom was. I wonder how many times we come to the house of God because it's our custom or our tradition. And we go through the emotions and never realize He's not even here. They come like they always did. They did what they always do. And they left like they always did. And the realization was the Lord wasn't with them and they didn't even know it. I wonder how many people in our country today are going to go into some building with the name church over the door. And they're going to go in like they always go in. And they're going to go through the motions like they always go through the motions. And they're going to go out the door like they've always gone out the door. And they're not even going to realize that the Lord's not with them. But if you want to find Him, if you want His presence, He gets pretty easy to find if you want Him. All that day, I don't know, the Bible said they went a day's journey. I'm sure there's a mathematical figure for how far they went. I don't know how far it was. But all that day, on the inside, there was just, they were fine, they were satisfied, they were happy, and didn't even know the Lord wasn't there. And I'm telling you this morning, if we're not careful, oh Lord, help us not to get to the place that we're content and satisfied and happy, and not even realize He's not there. But go about our day and not realize, I understand if you're saved, there is His abiding presence, but if that's all you have, you're missing out. Well, there's a manifested presence of God. And you don't have to be in the building to have that. You can have it every day if you want it. But many people are just satisfied and happy. And they don't even know that they can have more, that something is missing. Oh, if you've been saved for any length of time and been in any church service as much, you've experienced the manifested power of God. But there's a misconception among church people in this day that that's only for an hour or two on Sunday or on Wednesday night or during revival. And they're satisfied with that, walk about their day all the rest of the week thinking that's how it has to be and never realize that something's missing that you can have in your everyday life. His presence. You can find Him this morning. You'll not find Him among your family and you'll not find Him among your friends. And I'm not knocking that. Thank God for wonderful families. Thank God for good friends and brothers and sisters that we can come together and worship. But I'm saying if you want Him, He'll get easy to find. Just go search for Him. Go look for Him. Go look. The last time you looked Him, that's probably where you'll find Him. And then I thought in 2 Kings chapter 6, the sons of the prophets were out cutting wood to build a bigger place. And in Luke chapter 2, what they were missing was His presence. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, what suddenly become missing was the power. That one son of the prophet, the Bible said, was fell in a beam. And the axe had come off the handle. Now, I'm going to tell you something that the Lord spoke to my heart. And I'm preaching from my heart this morning. That was a very, if this is going to be a type and a picture of the church in our day, and I believe it is, that it was a very evident loss of power. But I'm going to tell you what that son of the prophet could have done. He didn't do it, but he could have done. Is he could have kept swinging the handle. He could have had all the motions. He could have still broke the sweat. He could have had all the right actions. Everybody looking on, if they didn't know any better, they'd have thought, I mean, he could have went around work circles out over everybody else. Everybody would have thought he was busy doing good, doing work. And the truth was, there was no power. Nothing was being accomplished. I remember my younger days growing up here in a
It's amazing how certain messages stand out in your mind. I remember a preacher that I grew up around very much preaching a message called Beating Bushes or Cutting Wood. And there's a whole lot of people in the church today, I'm afraid, we're beating bushes because we've lost the power to cut the wood. And I'm going to tell you some reality about that scripture is that the head didn't change, the handle did. Somewhere along the line, there was a gap that came between the handle and the head. The handle got loose, and the head came off. And I'm going to tell you something, He's the head. He's the power. And He's not changed a bit. And so the reason the church in our day has lost the power is because we've changed. There's come some gap. Something has come between us and the power. Something has caused in our life a looseness, and He's come off. And we have lost the power, the effectiveness, and to do anything for eternal good in this life. Oh, sure, we can affect temporary things, and we can... I'm not preaching this morning out of a spirit of anger or mad, or I'm preaching out of love this morning, and the reality is this, that we can influence a lot of things in this world, temporal things, but if we expect to do anything or to have any eternal value, we got to have Him. Got to have Him. We've resorted in our day among churches of wanting influence in temporal things that can be measured by man's standards. But man does not measure success. God does. And in God's eyes, success is only measured in light of eternity. What does it matter? What do if we really lived our life in light of eternity, what do a lot of these things we count dear really matter? Or what are the things that the church holds dear really matter? Only the things that will matter in eternity really matter. Something's missing. And it's not some new program. It's not some new fashion or form. It's not some new, and I'm trying to be just honest with you and preach my heart this morning. It's not some new evangelist that we've never heard before and don't know his name. Those are not the things that are missing. It's not some new book to study and read after, and I'm not knocking that. But I'm going to tell you something. What's missing is Him. What's missing is Him. His power and His presence. We gather together. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't think I will. We gathered together last night at Dale Kelsey's house. I wasn't being nosy, I guess I was, but there's a Bible laying on their console table. I guess that's what you call it in the living room. And it looked kind of familiar to me as an old Bible. And I opened up the inside cover to see when it was made. Cover's real worn. And it didn't even dawn on me what Bible it was. But it was the old Bible that I had bought and given to Kelsey on the day she graduated. Preached her. She graduated from the Christian school where I'm the principal now. I wasn't principal then, but she asked me if I'd preach her graduation service, and I did. And the Lord laid it on my heart. Not a lot of people buy, and I'm not knocking that, they buy new shiny Bibles for their graduates, and the Lord impressed my heart to buy an old one. I've been all wore out and used. And I wrote on the inside cover words that weren't mine, but words I'd heard an old preacher say over and over and over again. Everything new's not true. And everything true is not new. Stick with the old stuff. It'll work every time. I'm going to tell you, in these days of modern evangelism and whatever you want to call it. There's so much new coming down the pike and everybody's jumping on board. And I'm going to tell you, we as preachers, and I'm going to preach to myself just a minute, we as preachers have not vimed and beat at people for jumping on things, everything coming and going. I'm telling you, in this year of 2020, it's been a crazy year and a year of chaos, but I'm glad the Lord's still speaking to me and teaching me some things, and I've come to understand some things by the help of the Holy Ghost at this you about the church, and as days go by, I'd be one of them that'd be quick to knock at people and to preach up at them for Janae. I'm not justifying people jumping on the bandwagon, but the Lord has spoke to my heart, and He said the reason everybody's wanting to join the new stuff is because they know something's missing. And they're doing the same thing Mary and Joseph did. They're searching among their family. When their family says, oh, we go to this new church and we got all these new things, they think, well, that'll satisfy what's missing on the inside, and they jump on board. Or when their friends say, why do you go to that old-time church where the preacher spits and slobbers and preaches on how you live and how you act and how you dress? And why don't you come over here? And they feel like, oh, maybe they'll feel something's missing. But what we need in this day is some men and women that realize what's missing is the old stuff that's always been around. It's the power and the presence of God. That's what's missing. And all you know how I stand, you know how I feel. But I'm going to tell you the reality, and there's a lot of brethren probably wouldn't like to say this, but I'm going to say it this morning. Old time is not in wearing four-length dresses and bonnets. It's not in wearing overalls and riding a mule to church or carrying a handkerchief in your back pocket. Old time is not in wearing a white shirt to preach or any of the other things. It's not wingtip shoes or a nice shirt. Old time, and I understand there ain't but one Bible, but that ain't what makes an old timer an old timer. What makes old timey is the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. That's the true mark of the old time way. And we're living in a day, you hear me well, and I'm done this morning, we're living in a day where the fad of the day for all the decoration, for all the stuff, if everybody wants stuff old-timey, if they want stuff antique stuff, and it is rolled over into the church, and we have taken what the world says is old-timey, and we feel like if we can put the label old-timey on it, then it must be pleasing in the sight of God. But it don't matter by the world's standards how old it is, if it don't have the power of God, it's not pleasing in the sight of God. And I'm going to tell you the reality of our day is that something's missing. The Lord said, if you don't repent and return and do the first works, He said, I'll remove your candlestick from out of His place. He said that power, that influence is governed by how you treat your first love. It's no different all through the Scriptures. The relationship between Christ and the church is compared between the husband and the wife. And the type of relationship you have depends on how you treat your spouse. What kind of relationship would you have? Now, I'm just preaching this morning, but we better take it to heart. What kind of relationship would you have if you only spent about, well, what do we spend? Maybe 3 hours on Sunday and an hour on Wednesday, and maybe a few hours during revival through the year. Or what kind of relationship would we have with our spouse if we only spend about 3 or 4 hours a week with them? How? Now, here's the reality. Let's get down to where rubber meets the road. How would we expect them to treat us if that's the only attention we ever gave? Now I want to ask us all the question. Why do we expect the Lord to do any different? I know He's merciful and gracious, and thank God He is, and don't treat us like we treat Him. But why do we soothe our conscience, our mind, somehow by thinking, well, He's the Lord, it's okay if I just give Him 3 or 4 hours a week? He told that church at Ephesus, He said, I know your labor. I know your works. I know your patience. He said, but there's something wrong. You have left me. You have forgotten me. You have overlooked me. Any of you ever get, I feel satisfied I'm not the only person. I got a good wife this morning and she don't ever point it out. But there are days I know that I get so busy in all the stuff that I feel like I have to do. But there are days I overlook her. And she just goes along. And I think, Lord, I ought not to treat her that way. And then I think, oh Lord, I've done you worse than that. And he don't ever say much. He don't ever complain. But I'm going to tell you what happens is the reality that that presence and that power just gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And if we're not careful, we'll get so busy. I'm going to tell you the reality of the Christian life. You get so busy, you don't even realize it's gone. You say, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said that Samson got so wrapped up in all the things he wanted that when Delilah did cut his hair, the Bible said he got up and shook himself. He said, I'll go out as at other times. And he wished not that the power of the Lord had departed. He didn't even know. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. There are Christians all over churches this morning. They don't even know. They don't even know. We've treated him like a parachute, and a spare tire far too long. It's time to renew our love for him. I do want to labor, and I know there's labor to do, and there's labor in the field. Now, I understand all of that, but I don't want to labor without love. And I don't want to get so busy that I lose focus and sight of what really matters. I don't want him to be missing. Here in this little church by the side of the road, the Lord's been so good to us. And he's met with us and met our needs and encouraged us. And we've seen souls saved and folks get help. And we've seen wonderful services, had wonderful revivals and meetings and all of the wonderful things the Lord's done. But if we're not careful, we'll lose our first love too. If we're not careful, we'll get so wrapped up in all this stuff that's going on, we'll forget and overlook him. God help us not to overlook him. God help us not to lay him aside. God help us not to just be church people. There's a lot of people in these days, and they may be saved, but they're just church people. They think about the Lord when it's church time. They think about their Bible when it's church time. They think about praying when it's church time. All the other days, they don't think about it too much. We've left our first love. God help us. Let's stand all over the house this morning. I wonder this morning as we take inventory, as the Holy Ghost sheds the light in our heart, and we take inventory of our life.